Thankful heart, don't he? Amen. Be thankful. Be thankful. One of the worst sins of America is ingratitude. I can't stand to see a kid that's spoiled and won't even say thank you when you do something for him. You think how God must feel after all he's done for us, and no more than we appreciate what he's done for us. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Verse number 4 said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Amen. Amen. By the way, he is in prison when he wrote this. Pretty happy fellow to be in jail, ain't he? Amen. Amen. And he said, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. Now that word there, careful, means care or concern or worry. Be careful for nothing. Be anxious or don't have a lot of anxiety and worry. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Everything we do and everything we pray, everything we ask for, is supposed to be saturated and bathed with thanksgiving. Amen. Understand that. It's not like we make a list and send it to Santa Claus. I mean, in other words, he said, and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And then it said, verse 7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And I was thinking about this today, and like I said, I don't have a structured outline, but I was just thinking, I'm like the rest of you. I got to thinking about how good God's been to us. And if I gave this little sermon a title, it'd be this, Time to Give Thanks. But it's always time to give thanks, ain't it? Amen. Always time to give thanks. So I'll just give you a little thought on my heart, and then we'll dismiss, okay? We'll have altar call, and maybe we can all gather around this altar and spend a little time just thank him for what he's done for us. I want to say, first of all, I want to thank God, me personally. I want to thank God for Jesus. Amen. I want to thank God for Jesus Christ. I'm so grateful that he sent a substitute for us. The Bible said the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God. Boy, I like those buts in the Bible, don't you? He said the wages of sin, the payment you're going to get for your sin is death. He's not just talking about just natural physical death. He's talking about the second death, the spiritual death, the lake of fire. He said the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad the Lord saw that you and I were in the condition we were in, that we were lost, undone, without God, without hope, without God in this world, the Bible said. And he made it possible. We've been teaching on that in Sunday school about eternal security and how important that is to understand your assurance. You're not saved because you're a good person. You're not saved because you're a good boy or a good girl or a good man or a good woman. You're saved because he's a good Savior. Amen? That's the only reason you're saved. There's no, the Bible said our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. I was sitting there thinking when Brother William was testifying, I thought, you know, before I got saved, I didn't have any righteousnesses. Not near one. I didn't have any good traits. If God looked at it like, well, let's measure it out and see how many good points he's got and how many bad points. That's the way people think. That's the way their mind works. That's humanism. They think if the good outweighs the bad, you're all right. But it don't work that way. You can be all the way good, 99.99%, and be that 0.1% bad and die and go to hell. And that 0.1% means that you're a sinner. And it's not based on good people and bad people. Let's face it, people. There's going to be some bad people that's going to be in heaven. There's going to be people who lived a wicked life their entire life and got saved before they died and went to heaven. The thief on the cross wasn't nothing but a thief and a deadbeat his entire life. And it got him executed. He went straight into glory. Amen. Amen. Bad people is going to end up in heaven. On the other hand, there's going to be some mighty good people that's going to die and burn in hell. I worked for a man one time in North Carolina. I don't know if the guy's saved or not. I talked to him about it several times and never showed any conviction or concern about his life, but he was just the nicest person. I mean, one of the best people you'd ever work for. I'm telling you, just a good man. If you look up a good man in the Bible, you'd find him. He's a good businessman, and morally, he's a good, clean man. I mean, every once in a while, he'd let out a cuss word, but I mean, who don't do that? I mean, she does that all the time. Pick up these blankety-blank clothes out of a docking. I'm kidding. But he's just a good man, Brother William. I mean, just good to work for. I mean, you know, I remember one time, I'll never forget this. One time I said, guess what? I said, tonight, all the kids are gone. Me and Mom's going to have a night alone. We had four little old kids. Praise God. That'll preach right there. I said, what are you going to do? I said, we're going to sit back, and we're just going to eat a bite and just sit back and just entertain each other. We ain't going to do nothing. And right before I left, I was walking out the door. He said, hey, let me give you something. Hand me, I think it's $50. He said, take your wife out on me. And I thought, glory to God. Hallelujah. And I thought, what a good man. What a blessing. I remember one time I went on a 10-day trip to Jamaica to preach. And I didn't have vacation time. I was just going to take a loss and go and lose about a week and a half's pay. And I got back, and the next week, when payday came around, he wrote my check out, and it was a full amount. And I said, brother, I called his name. I said, you made a mistake on my check week four last. I was gone. He said, that's all right. I decided I was going to pay you anyway. He said, you're a good worker, and you're here all the time, and you take care of business, and if you're going to go over and try to help some of them heathens, he said, maybe I can help be a part of it. I thought, praise God. But you know what, brother? All that being said, he was a good man, but good men don't go to heaven. I want you to know tonight, the kind of people that go to heaven are those people that's been redeemed, that's blood washed. Thank God had their sin cast down at the feet of Calvary and washed white in the blood of the Lamb. Those are the people that's going to heaven. Bible said in the book of Revelation, who are these? He said, these are they who washed their robes white. And I know doctrinally who that's talking about, but you know what? It didn't say these are they who were real good people. So I thank God for Jesus Christ. And I'm glad Jesus loved me. I'll tell you, just like a little song we used to sing with you as a kid, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Boy, I tell you, I'll stick with you on it. I'm glad I knew from a little boy that there's somebody that loved me. And I'll tell you, when I was 20 years old, I met him personally, and he's been good to me. It's like somebody said a while ago, all these years come and gone, and he's still the nearest and dearest friend I've ever had. Amen. I thank God for Jesus. I remember over in Isaiah 53, it said it pleased God. Now think about this. It pleased God to bruise him. God let his only begotten son be bruised, beaten, and battered, and bled for us. At the time he was doing all that, we wanted nothing to do with him. Jesus didn't die for a bunch of good religious people that loved him and wanted him and worshiped him. Jesus died for sinners. If people ever get that through their head, they'd shout a little bit. He died for sinners. He died knowing that the vast majority of the world wants nothing to do with him. Yet he died for the small minority like me and you that fell on their face and asked Jesus Christ to come into their heart and save them from sin.
Amen.
Thank God for a Savior. I'm just talking for myself. I thank God for Jesus, number one. I also want to thank God for family. Amen. Several of you done mentioned it, but I appreciate a good family. Amen. I've been in the ministry for a long time, and we've met all kinds. I mean, you just can't imagine. I mean, we've had people in our church it's like a Jerry Springer show. Crazy stuff, man. Like scrambled eggs. I mean, you can't figure it out. And then we met people that their homes are just a mess. We met people that it seemed like a bomb went off in their house, and the mom and daddy can't get along. Mom and dad don't even like each other, let alone love each other. And the kids have no respect for the parents. And I know we're living in that day and age now where little bitty kids look at mom and daddy and say no and shut up and all that stuff. Boy, I tell you what, sometimes when I'm feeling froggy, I just like for one of mine to try that.
Amen.
Come on, say it. Do like that Karate Kid dude. But I thank God for family. And I'm glad that raising your family according to the Bible, the precepts of the book, still works in 2011. It still works, brother. And you say, preacher, my kids are off a little. Let me give you a little lesson on child rearing right here. And I'm not bragging. I'm basing everything I say on the Bible. And also, I'm also going to The frosting on it is going to be the proof of my family, how they turned out. Right? Amen. Experience. I raised my family according to what the Bible said, because the Bible said it would work, and it did. When them kids are little and they won't sit still and they're squirmy, you're going to have to teach them to be quiet and sit still. It might as well be in the house of God. You might as well start teaching them now, because someday they're going to have to sit still at the doctor's office, at the dentist's office. They're going to have to sit still in school. They're going to be in trouble, and you're going to have to go to the school and pick them up every day. And that junk gets old, brother. Start training them when they're little bitty. I mean, when they're in diapers, start training them. Y'all think I'm crazy, but that works. If we can teach a six-week-old puppy not to use the bathroom in the house, you can teach a 3 or 4 month old or a year old kid to listen to you. Preach it right there, brother. Listen, let me say this too. It's like any other kind of training. It don't happen the first time. We've fooled around with horses and stuff our whole life, and you don't break a horse just by the first time you go out there, just put a halter on him and jump on his back. You know, when that happens on movies. But real life, that don't work, does it, Brother William? I was watching an old John Wayne movie the other day, a few weeks ago. The Cowboys, that's the best that he ever made, I thought, where them little boys went with him on that cattle drive. And that one boy, they couldn't break that horse. That one boy jumped on him, and that horse changed colors 3 times in that scene. That is a black horse, and then it's a red sorrel, and it's back to, I thought, good Lord. But anyway, he was bucking and bucking, and all of a sudden he got him broke. He broke him down, and as soon as he got broke, that guy's loping him around that round pin, neck reining him and stopping him, backing up. I said, that junk don't work, brother. It don't work. That looks good in Hollywood, brother, but in real life, that junk don't get it. That's the same way with raising your kid. Listen, don't try it once or twice and say, well, preacher, it just don't work, so we're going to try what Dr. Phil said. You better forget about Dr. Phil and Oprah and all those other idiots and stick with what the Bible says. Amen. Amen. Thank God for family. I thank God for a good wife. I appreciate a good wife. The Bible said a good woman is like a crown to her husband. But a bad one, as the Bible said, is as rottenness in his bones. A bad wife's like a man's got cancer in his bones. But a good wife's like a crown. Amen, brother. I mean, she'll make you look good. She'll make you smell good. She'll make you act good. She'll feed you right, take care of you. You know, my wife is the pastor's wife. And she is, I think, a perfect example of what a pastor's wife should be. And I was preaching this summer the other day. Y'all might have been with me. I don't know where I was at when I was preaching this. I've preached so many different places lately. I don't even know where I'm at now, hardly. But you know what the pastor's wife's number one job is in the church? Is to keep the preacher happy. There ain't nothing in the Bible that says she has to teach Sunday school or sing in the choir or anything. She don't have to do nothing if she don't want to. She can walk through the door, and as long as she irons my clothes and kisses me and cooks me food, and I got a big smile on my face, that's all she has to do. But now all this other stuff she does, that's just extra because she wants to. She wants to teach Sunday school, wants to work with the kids. She wants to do the Christmas play and the Easter pageant and the drama and all that stuff. And by the way, she don't go buy that junk at the Christian bookstore either. She sits and with her Bible and sits in a bedroom, lay across the bed for hours and hours and hours at night with the light off, no TV on, just a lamp and the Bible, and trying to come up with something that God would have her to use to put it together. And I want to say publicly that I thank God for that. Amen. I appreciate that commitment. There's times she's about to pull her hair out. Honey, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm down to this one scene. It's driving me crazy. And I say, hang in there, baby. You'll get it. Because I know the feeling, brother. I'm like that about every Saturday. I'm like, well, am I going to preach tomorrow? Amen. Here a while back, I was working on 9 sermons at one time. And that's the truth. I think it's nine sermons I was working on. My brain was going 50. And I can't handle all that stuff at one time. But I appreciate a good wife. And I know what a good wife is. Amen. Appreciate a good wife. You know where she's at and what she's doing, and she loves you and takes care of you. By the way, ladies, y'all thank God for a good husband. If he's good to you and takes care of you and don't beat you and he don't come home drunk smelling like another woman. You know there's women that their husbands come home, they don't even hurl them in and just live in it. I'll tell you something. A lady been called my wife here recently, periodically. Her and her husband, it's a mess. She'll call Bob and you can't tell what she's saying. She's crying so much. Good Christian in a independent Baptist church. Loves the Lord. But something's went wrong in the marriage. And ain't a whole lot you can tell her. Ain't a whole lot you can advise. But just listen and pray and care. And I thought about that. I thought, you know, how much that woman would give to have a good husband to just come home at night. Just come home and stay with her and say, I'm just going to be here with you and the kids tonight. Ain't nothing wrong going deer hunting or going golfing. Every man's got his hobbies. If it's working on your truck, or maybe it's horses, or maybe it's messing with pigs or mules or chickens, whatever it might be. I don't know. Everybody's got a different like. Everybody likes some people like bass fishing, you know, just stay on the lake all the time. But man, that ought to be sometimes you just forget all that junk and stay home with mama. Yeah. Right. Take the kids to the babysitter. Amen. Y'all thank God for a good husband, ladies. Amen. Let me throw this in. This ain't in my message. Ain't hardly nothing in my message. One way to keep a good man is not nag at him all the time. And cook his favorite food and wear something appealing. Men are attracted by what they see. Women are attracted by what they hear. You can tell a woman how beautiful she is. I don't care how ugly she is. I don't care if you're dead broke and you ain't got no money. You're the ugliest man in the world and got one tooth. If you talk right and say the right thing, you can have a pretty woman all times. There's proof. Honest, I ain't bragging. When I was a teenager, I didn't have trouble getting women because I could talk, brother. Other guys better looking than me, got more money. But if I had a halfway decent looking car, I knew how to talk it, son. I could talk the talk. Hey, baby. Hey, if they didn't want me, I'd ride them off and go to her sister. How about you? How about your mom? She don't look bad. By the way, I said, hey, when your husband comes home from work having a big old dinner, sitting on the table, his favorite dinner, and a big old T-bone steak laying there on the plate, and the kids are gone with grandma. And them old long, you know, them long, I don't know what you call them. They're from hell. They're big long gowns. They go down to your ankles and fuzzy slippers. That ain't of God. That is not for married women. That's for old granny women that's widows and their husbands are dead. That is not for... You come to the door with just about nothing on and got his favorite meal and candlelight and say, it's up to you, big boy, whichever one you want first. He'll go crazy. He will try to lay out of work the next day to get seconds. I guarantee you. You say, preacher, you're crazy. I am not. The Bible teaches that for us not to defraud one another. Hey, brother, listen. Listen, if you go pick your wife up and you're all dressed up and your car's all sparkly and go pick her up, open the door, that junk still works, man. She'll still blush. I open the door for Debbie most of the time just because my truck don't have an automatic thing on my old one. And I just play it up. I just make out like I'm just being a gentleman. Finally, the other day, I just give her own key. I said, here, open your own door. I ain't feeling romantic today. Open your own door. No, I'm kidding. But I thank God for family. And I thank God for my kids. Don't you? Thank God. Just about everybody here has got good kids. They come to church. They sing in the choir. They go on visitation. And they're so obedient. And they're thoughtful. And they try to protect their testimony. I appreciate that. I appreciate family. I appreciate this church. Amen. Good church. Like somebody's already said, I believe Joanne or one of them said, you just don't realize. And I think sometimes, like Brother Heath said, sometimes I think the Lord lets us go to these other churches for two reasons. So we can help them. Amen. It ain't for us. It's to help them, give them a shot in the arm. And it's also to keep us from taking for granted what we do have. Amen. It's so that we'll come back home and say, thank God. Amen. You know, I was on that trip preaching a few weeks back, and I was in a couple of good churches. But I still couldn't wait to get back. I thought, man, there ain't no church like our church. That's where I belong. That's where God put me. That's where I want to be. Every time I was in another church, and right about time y'all be starting, I said, Lord, bless the choir. They're singing right about now. I'd be sitting on the front row getting ready to preach. Lord, bless the choir. I pray God just pour it on them. Let them preach. Sunday morning, I said, Lord, preach Brother Cody. Turn him loose. God, cut cartwheels. Just bless him. Let our people get their cup filled up. Lord, I wished I was there. Yeah. I thank God for a good church. A good church that'll let the pastor lead and let the pastor be the pastor. Amen. And I appreciate that. Every day I hear about churches having fights and having trouble. And I heard one just the other day about a church that had a big blow up over... It's always something silly. It's the color of something, you know. The color of this or that. And, you know, we're going to put down new carpet. What color do y'all want? Lord God. I mean, you're just asking for trouble. That's like going to... You ever been to Walmart, look at those paint colors? I wish they just had three colors. White, black, and whatever's in between. That's confusing, ain't it? But that's what churches do. They start majoring on the minors and minoring on the majors. Next thing you know, they got a church split and it ain't worth it. I mean, and then the church is disgruntled because I'm not sitting on those pews because I didn't vote for those pews and that's not the pews I wanted, so I'm going to sit back here in a chair. How full of the devil can you be? Here's the way I am. I believe Brother DeWitt said this one day. Here's the way I've always been. If the church votes to put red carpet and red pews and everybody wants it and I don't want it, I mean, I'll vote no. And they go ahead and get the red, so what? I had my vote. I'm going to live with it. I'll never bring it up again. I'll sit on the red pews and I'll walk on the red carpet and I'll never say another thing about it. That's the way you do it. But people nowadays, they get mad and they cause a big stink, cause a fight, split, take their family and go to church somewhere else. Thank God for a good church. We got good music here. We got a good spirit. People's already been calling me about Jubilee coming up in February, looking forward to it. Oh, Brother Rick Davis, he ain't got no sense. I don't know if y'all knew that or not. We'll send him this CD. He ain't got no sense. He texted me the other day and said, y'all got any big services coming up that we can come to? I said, they're all big services. Come on. He's, well, enough he's going to have something, you know, some big thing he could come to. But I thank God for church. One more thing I'll mention, and I'm going to close. I thank God for good health. I know that older you get, everybody's got a little something wrong with them. It's whether it's back trouble or gout in your feet or like me, I got psoriasis, you know, on my knuckles and different places. And everybody, I mean, that's just life. You're going to have, the older you get, even young people, you'll have something. But what I'm talking about is we're alive, and as far as we know, we're healthy for now. Amen. We should not take that for granted. If you wake up in the morning and you're in your right mind and you can get up, put your feet on the floor and walk through the house and stir around, get woke up, and you can go to school, go to work, go to church, whatever it is you're going to do, that's a good day. Yes. Heard old man one time, he said, any day above ground is a good day. Amen. And that's true. We ought to thank God that we've got it as good as we have. Instead of complaining about our leg hurting, thank God we got a leg. Amen. I saw a thing the other day, there's some special on the news where they must have been having some kind of basketball tournament with people that had amputated legs and had those artificial legs, and they all like to run around the basketball court playing each other. I thought, man, you take an average Baptist that's healthy and can't even get them to come to church and sit on a padded pew. Right. Here you got guys running in the marathon and riding their bicycles in races and all these obstacles, they just push them to the side and say, I'm going to do what I want to do because I want to do it. And we could do the same if we just wanted to do it. Right. But we should be thankful. Let's stand. Ronnie, come to the piano.